going into this qualifying session, I was expecting to say Nicholas Latifi has taken his first ever pole, but instead it was George Russell. So welcome to episode 219 of the Grid Talk podcast. My name is Louis Edwards, and today we are going to be reviewing qualifying for the 2022 Hungarian Grand Prix. Joining me today, we have Tom Downey from the Everything F1 podcast.
Well, hello there.
Warren Shaw from the Paddock Powers podcast.
Hello.
And sports writer and Grid Talk co-host, Owain Medford.
Yeah, hello.
But before we start, if you enjoy this podcast, we would love it if you could give us a five-star review on iTunes or Spotify. If you do, you'll automatically go into our monthly draw to win a Grid Talk t-shirt. So it's a win-win. And also, if you're one of the 61% of people who are not subscribed and watch our videos on YouTube, please consider subscribing and also leaving us a like while you're here. So, as you said, disappointing that Nicholas Latifi wasn't able to take pole, Owain, but George Russell did manage to take his maiden pole position. And it came, from a surprise from everyone, because I didn't expect him to take pole, but what a lap.
Yeah, it was absolutely brilliant. I don't think Mercedes expected it, bearing in mind how well they're performing in FP. Well, gosh, yesterday, earlier today, you know, they said that they'd basically turn the car upside down. And I think I don't really know what to say about it, to be honest. It's such a shock. It's one of those things that shot the grid, and it shocked the presenters. You know, looking at it, going, where did that come from? But you look at the lap, and honestly, it's a bang up job, both by Mercedes to get the car, you know, to work out what they need from the car, to get it in the right window, and we see that, you know, obviously had a little bit of help, little bit less competition than you'd imagine. For pole today, but still, once you get that Mercedes in the window, it flies in certain circumstances. And George Russell had a bang up lap. You know, it was unremarkable, apart from that it was fast. It's just one of those things, if you got, you know, as close as to perfect as you can do. And you know, I think it surprised everyone, bearing in mind how far away they looked. But to be honest, this has been a long time coming.
Yeah, it has been. George is he's been close before, including his very first time in a Mercedes car, but finally gets his pole position. Warren, he'll be joined on the front row by Carlos Sainz, who looked set for pole, but a very poor middle sector potentially cost him pole position today.
Yeah, it did. I had a little wager on him to get pole position, so I was quite disappointed at how this turned out. But yeah, the middle sector looked a little poor. He still improved on his time, though, I think, overall, to get a better time on that last lap. But I mean, I guess when some driver puts a lap like George did in, I guess you just got to tip your hat, I guess. I don't really know, because even like Charles couldn't even match him there. So I guess it's just like, you know what, he got me on one lap today, and we move on. This is what happened. But yeah, Carlos, I think he'll be a little bit disappointed on that. But I think they definitely have the stronger race pace than Mercedes. So if you're looking at it from that standpoint, like, yeah, okay, tomorrow he's probably fine where he is going into tomorrow.
Yeah, definitely. And Tom, he'll be joined, you know, just behind from his teammate, Charles Leclerc. Couldn't hook up the laps that Carlos Sainz was able to do, but given where Max is, right, you know, down in 10th, I think he'll be happy that he's at least in the top three. It does still give him a chance to push for a podium tomorrow.
You really have to do me dirty and talk about Max like that. Leclerc just looks, he looks just on the, almost on the back foot compared to Sainz, you know, as the other two have said, you know, both, you know, the Sainz was, you know, having a very, very good weekend. And Leclerc was just couldn't quite string it together. And he's just, you know, he just, because a driver like Leclerc, or like, when Hamilton prior to this season and you know, Max last season and this season, that kind of thing. Basically, the drivers who are going for the championship, you know, the ones who are, you know, who you sort of expect to be on pole or expect to be winning all the rest of it. Even if they're, you know, Q1 and Q2 doesn't really matter because they're just going through the motions, apart from Perez. You know, it's a, it, you know, it's a, they're always sort of there at the top anyway. You know, they're usually sort of like, you usually see them, you know, P1, P2, P3 regardless, and you don't really think anything of it because you're paying attention to the drivers who are underneath them, who are, you know, maybe, you know, you're looking at like the likes of the Alpines, you see if they're both making it through, or both the Astons, see if they make it out Q1 or whatever. But Leclerc was a point, he was in that mix for, you know, if he didn't get a better lap going, there was a good chance that he was going to, not that he was going to be knocked out in a session, but he was never like really there all the time this weekend. I say this weekend, I mean this qualifying. I haven't seen any through practice. But yeah, you know, it's a bit of a disappointing weekend for him so far. And I think, you know, if Max's engine wouldn't have, you know, whatever has happened to it, I think Leclerc would have been possibly a place or two further down again.
Yeah, there's definitely the potential for that. It does seem a little off this weekend, but Pointer scored tomorrow and he still has a chance to potentially close the gap to Max, whatever sort of pin drop that might do in this current championship battle. But Owain, I am very happy at the next result. Lando Norris, P4. I mean, last week I was celebrating whacking my McLaren half for a P5 from Lando, but the McLarens are looking better this weekend. There seems to be a track that suits their car, and Lando Norris is just doing what Lando Norris does and absolutely drives the maximum out of it. And P4 for tomorrow is definitely not a bad result.
Yeah, it's uncharacteristically good, unfortunately. So, you know, it's one of those things that I'm not actually sure how well they were looking in the race runs. But it's a good place to start from. Unfortunately, they've got, you know, winner from last year, Esteban Ocon, and ever the fast starter, Fernando Alonso, directly behind him. So it might be a bit tricky. But that's obviously always a good place to start. What McLaren will have to hope is that this is the start of the uptick in form that they sorely need. You know, they've shown that they've got the one lap pace, but it was a bit of a wacky session. And everyone looked like they were struggling a bit in some way. So, you know, credit to Lando for actually, you know, rising above that, managing to get the car round in a really, really good time. You know, I thought that was before right at the end, we thought that was going to be the biggest shock of qualifying. But yeah, really, really good job. And hopefully it continues sort of moving forward.
Well, I certainly hope so. But Warren, Owain is right. He's got the two Alpines right behind him. And as you rightfully mentioned as well, last year's winner, Esteban Ocon, in P5. A, brilliant lap to get ahead of Fernando, who's been looking quick. And B, you know, these are like the important points that Alpine need. They need to be up, you know, P6, P5 to continue this fourth place battle with McLaren.
Yeah, they do. That is for sure. And it's almost like, too, they're in their battle. They have the upper hand just on their drivers in form. Like they have two drivers that are driving really well right now. And McLaren has got like one driver and then a half a body in the other, in the second car with Ricciardo. Like he's, I think ninth, 3 weeks in a row. Like that seems like where his peak is right now. When Ocon and Alonso are able to get a fifth, they're alternating. Like if they're going to get fifth or sixth and the other one can get a couple points like there, but yeah, both drivers in the car have good handle on it. And yeah, two great laps from them. I know you're a McLaren fan, I would be a little bit worried about how good the pace is going, and maybe when they go off on break for a month they'll lose it somehow. But so far they've really found their form the last like 3-4 weeks of the campaign.
Yeah, certainly. I would be lying if I said I wasn't nervous about the two Alpines tomorrow. But yeah, the second Alpine, Tom Fernando Alonso, in P6, things seem to go to, well, El Plan, for tomorrow. And I guess he just needs to, be wary of maybe a charging Bottas deciding to go 10 pin bowling again tomorrow. But otherwise it does look like, points are definitely on the card for Alonso.
God, you're giving me PTSD with that Bottas bowling ball. Yeah. Blimey, I can't remember that. It was good quality for Alonso. I was surprised to see that he eventually got out qualified by Ocon. did he get qualified by F1? He did, didn't he? Yes, yeah. Sorry, I'm going cross-eyed today. At one point he put it P2. I can't remember if that was during. I think I was during Q2, or was that the first run of Q3?
No, it was Q2.
Yeah, I was gonna say because you put in the chat.
Things that cannot be repeated.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But we'll leave it at that. Yeah, decent qualifying for him. You know, the Alpines are looking pretty decent around here today. You know, it'll be interesting to see what they do around race pace. Alonso, good day at the office. Obviously, last year, you know, Alpine had a very successful weekend at this track. Provided Bottas doesn't decide not to brake going into turn one, he should be on for a decent, you know, some decent points tomorrow. But if he can set aside from Max, that'd be really nice.
Well, so you'll be hoping to defend as hard as he did against Hamilton, for example.
Yeah, preferably not.
But say that, Owain, he will be having to defend from Lewis Hamilton tomorrow, as Hamilton does start P7. It could have been higher, but DRS issue kind of halted his second run, and P7 was the best he could do. But there's pace in the Mercedes. It's a difficult track to overtake, but Lewis Hamilton likes this track, and do you see him climbing up the order tomorrow?
To be fair, I do. I'm not sure. I think it would definitely make some places. He's been really good at starting this year. Making the most of the opportunities to get some, you know, relatively cheap places. Unfortunately, I imagine he's probably hoping that this won't become the new normal at the Hungara Ring, looking at the back of Fernando Alonso defending for Esteban Ocon. But, you know, like you say, Mercedes need to fix that DRS issue. Hopefully they don't sort of incur a penalty for any reason for doing that. I don't think they will. I think as long as you change it with the same spec, you're all good, as far as that's concerned. But that's obviously going to be a bit of a worry. Beyond that, the team didn't seem too worried actually about Lewis Hamilton's issue. It's not like he's not got pace. They seem to think that there's pace both in George Russell's car and Lewis Hamilton's. Reading Hamilton's body language in after the session, he looked fairly happy with it. So I think he thinks there's definitely the opportunity to move forward once that issue's fixed. They're moving. So again, onwards and upwards. One thing to note as well is that obviously Lewis is on the clean side of the grid, that left hand side running down to turn one, and that's apparently just due to the lack of running that the rest of the circuit gets. I mean, it's been a little bit different, obviously, with the wet running, meaning people are going offline a lot more to cool their tyres and things like that. So it won't be as dirty as it usually is, I would say. But that might make the difference. That might get Lewis past Fernando Alonso and onto potentially the easier target of Esteban Ocon. But so, you know, good chance to move forward there.
Yeah, definitely. They've made quite a big deal of this clean side, dirty side. It's not the longest run to turn one, but it could make quite the difference. P8, Warren, Valtteri Bottas, a bit of a resurgence from Alfa Romeo this weekend. Zhou was not too far behind as well in 12th, but, you know, P8 for Bottas, good points if he can make it past turn one.
Yeah, and I just looked at the weather. They said it's a 40% chance of rain from 10 a.m. to like 2 p.m. So who knows? I mean, after that, it's supposed to be cloudy. I personally, if he did another bowling ball move, I wouldn't. I think that would be a nice drama there. But more people stay. Also, let's not forget Lance Stroll just destroyed Leclerc on the inside too. Like, it was Bottas taking out a ton, but Stroll also did his good work on the inside. Okay, we should not let this go unnoticed. But Bottas, they said this is his first time in Q3. What, in six races, did they say on the broadcast? Something like, it seemed like a lot. I couldn't remember the exact number they said, but in a bunch of races, first time in Q3. So yeah, it looks like they got some pace back there, because they have been like yo-yoing this year. It's been hard to figure out like how they haven't been able to get the balance or the pace, whatever it was. But yeah, good for Bottas to finally get back into Q3, because he has been overshadowed, I would say, by Zhao a little bit lately. Like, I know he had the crash in Britain and everything, but like, everyone's been like, wow, look how fast Zhao is, and man, he's really performing well, and Bottas has just been kind of on the back burner over there.
Yeah, it's been a weird time for Alfa Romeo the last few weeks. They went out in Q1, I mean, in France, so it's been a very good turnaround for them. And it's been a sort of a nice upshift in form from Daniel Ricciardo as well, Tom. He's got himself into Q3 again, into the top 10. And this is kind of what McLaren need. They need, in this battle with Alpine, they're going to need both drivers in the top 10 scoring points. And I think they'll be glad that Ricciardo's in, but he's got the two Red Bulls behind, which is going to cause some problems.
Yeah, it's nice to see Daniel Ric back in Q3 and much closer to his teammate. Like you said, it's exactly what McLaren need. They also need consistency from him. And by consistency, I don't mean consistently lagging behind your teammate like a dog that's got a limp leg. Hopefully he'll maybe come good in the second half of the season. You know, we've seen it before, and hopefully this weekend is the start of a resurgence for him. Especially with Seb going, it makes you wonder how many races he's got left in McLaren. But in the interim, yeah, good quality today. Even if Perez would have made it through and all the rest of it, looking at it, he'd have still been in Q3 regardless, because he was there on merit. And he was sort of like P13 or something in Q1 or whatever, but or certainly for a while. But he was never like on the cusp of the drop. You know, he was always, I say comfortably, it wasn't that much in doubt that he wasn't going to make it into the next session each time round. And given, he's obviously got a few things that he's working out, both mentally and with the car and all the rest of it, good weekend so far. Let's hope that tomorrow that can translate into points. I think I said this about possibly Tsunoda, or I might have even said it about Gasly a couple of weeks ago, but he needs one of those weekends where, and he started it the right way as well, by the way, where he just needs like a solid weekend, and he's done the first bit, and he's got the McLaren into Q3, and he's what, P7, P8, whatever he is. And he's done that bit, and now he just needs to keep his nose clean, keep out of any issues going into turn one, which when you're starting in a gaggle of cars like that is hard, because you've got no control of what people are doing behind you, and you have to react to what's going on in front of you. So there are arguably he's in the sort of most vulnerable bit of the grid, sort of like P7, P8 down to about P14, 15, I'd say. All it takes is one driver to do something wrong, and then we've got Spa 2012 on our hands. So as much as he can, if he just keeps his nose clean tomorrow, he doesn't even have to put in any like majestic overtakes or anything. Just defend your position if needs be, help your teammate out, and just bring home some good points. Please.
Please. I think that's just a hope for any, not even just McLaren fans, I think just for Formula One fans in general. But we'll move on to the two Red Bulls now. And fortunately, we're not going to let Tom chat about either of them, probably for the best, given the words he's probably got for the team.
I think that's for everybody's best interests.
Anyway, Owen, we move on to Max Verstappen, P10. Locked up into turn two, I think it was, on his first run, completely ruined his lap and then had engine issues for his second run. So didn't really get a chance in Q3 to set a quick lap time. But it's not a good precedent for tomorrow's race if Red Bull are already having engine issues. And, it's been a while since we've had a Red Bull problem. So could it potentially be due on tomorrow?
I wouldn't say so. I think that, things come and go. They'll understand why it's sort of, failing away since it is something that we're sort of, used to seeing at least. I'm kind of not surprised in some ways. I think it's just really inopportune timing, obviously, that Max had the issue on his, just as he was about to set up his last flying lap. Unfortunately, obviously, it didn't help that he did lock up into turn two on his initial run in Q3. So obviously you put yourself a little bit on the back foot there. And that's obviously always going to cause issues, you know, these sorts of things happen. You know, that technical issue has dropped him down to, you know, sharing the fifth row of the grid, which is obviously, you know, they don't want to be in fifth place, let alone fifth row. And also, it's one of those things if Red Bull doesn't have the doesn't really have the downforce as well, so they might find it a little bit. I mean, you know, they've got the benefit of the higher straight line speed, but they've just looked a little bit rocky all weekend. You know, just not quite on their game, and Ferrari seem to have the sort of, you know, in the championship battle at least, they seem to have the balance of the sort of, you know, the form moving towards them, just with where the track is and things like that. It doesn't seem to suit Red Bull so much. Then again, you know, they're a racing team and these things happen. You know, they you don't win five championships without, you know, suffering a few setbacks, and I'm sure they'll sort it out and make the best of a bad situation. So I expect them to go forward. They're around cars that they're slower than if they can get the issues fixed. But yeah, just not a good start, obviously. And it does obviously make their job quite a lot harder.
Yeah, it certainly does. And with his teammate Warren Perez in P11, and unfortunately Checo can't really blame the car, because unfortunately it was just his pace that just couldn't get him out of Q2. And it's I think for some Red Bull fans might be slightly worrying, because it has not been the best few races for Perez, and this kind of epitomizes all that.
Yeah, last week in France was not his he was not on top of it. He did have the always unusual lap time deleted, but then the lap time reinstated, which maybe messed up their how they went out there. Like, they were already in the pits before he could even get another lap. Like, the timing on how he went in Q2 seemed like a strategy mistake or whatever they were doing there. And then he was on the radio. Magnussen was in the racing line, I think part of it, or caused him to slow down a little bit. He was complaining about that, so maybe that's why he missed it. I think he missed by what, 4 thousandths or something like that. So pretty close, but that could have been it. But yeah, not the best couple of weeks for Perez, especially like he's almost revert. This is like form we saw last year. Like, he has been really good. Like, you forgot last year how much he was off the pace, and like, and this is what he would do on Saturdays, be like towards the midfield and in the middle of the grid. Now he's kind of reverted back to that, at least this race. And then, I mean, he was so far off the pace last week off of Max.
Yeah, they'll need him to be cutting through the field. Maybe I'll actually try something bold with the strategy. But P12 for Zhou Guanyu, Tom, and, you know, fairly respectable, given that Alfa Romeo have been kind of this up and down pace. He only missed out on Q3 by just over a tenth as well. So, you know, a slight bit improvement in one corner or a couple of corners could have seen him into Q3. But P12 is not the worst place to be starting. And if there is any incidents ahead, he'll be sure to capitalise.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's, you know, he was more or less there. And I think maybe a bit more experience, you know, he hasn't had as much running at this track as other drivers have in the past. You know, he's always got experience from F2 and F3 and all the rest of it here, but it's different driving it in an F1 car, obviously. You know, so he did well. You know, he wasn't that far off Bottas, which, you know, Bottas is a good benchmark as well. Let's not forget. It was a decent quality performance from him. Like you said, it would have been nice to see him into Q3, but it was just good to hear him very sort of jovial on the radio, you know, when he came back in the pitch. You know, he was his race engineer came over the radio and, you know, and said, "Oh, not quite." And it was nice to hear Joe. You know, he was like, you know, he sort of came over the radio, and he was very sort of happy, and, you know, sort of saying, "You know, we're back. You know, we're up there." All the rest of it. So it's good to see positivity from a driver, especially after they've just been knocked out of a qualifying session. And yeah, it's also good to see that his Silverstone accident, which is obviously, you know, best part of a month ago now, hasn't knocked him mentally too much either. because he's still, he's still keeping his foot in all the rest of it. So yeah, it sets him up quite well for tomorrow. Hopefully he'll get, perhaps a good run down into turn one. Who knows? As long as Bottas doesn't teach him how to do a run down into turn one 2021 style, I think we'll be good.
Yeah, I think he might be a little bit more cautious. Away in P13 for Kevin Magnussen, and Haas brought some new upgrades, new side pods for this weekend, and it's really hard to gauge how they've worked out. I don't think it's been probably as successful as they'd hoped, considering they've got both cars out in Q2. But I mean, it's 13th. It's not the end of the world. Always chances to capitalize, do something different with the strategy. So there is some potential for points for Magnussen tomorrow, I guess.
Yeah, there's definitely potential. I mean, let's not forget, he's only three places off a points-paying position. It's always a little bit annoying when you bolt some upgrades on the car and you don't go forward. And if anything, you have a sort of worse weekend, and all the testing, some of the testing you do get to do is rain affected, so you don't even get sort of consistent running. I think that this would be a bad weekend to use as a benchmark right before the summer break. It's actually probably quite annoying. You want nice even conditions. Particularly, I think another issue as well is that he's only 4 tenths faster than Mick. And that's you don't want to bolt a loaded upgrade on the car and then find that the difference is that small. There'll be a small worry there, but I think there's an element of, at least, that you've got to re-understand the car when you bolt on new bits, both for the team and the driver. So, Mick's just still driving a car that he is probably really quite well understands right now, as does the team. Whereas, Kevin Magnussen is the first guy through the wall, as it were. So it's always going to be a bit more difficult. I think, to be honest, Kevin Magnussen is a good enough racer that unless he, has some real big issues at the start, he'll make his way forward. So I think points are definitely in the cards for them come tomorrow.
Yeah, who knows? Sometimes with the Haas, it's really difficult. Maybe, it looked quite quick in France and they came away with absolutely nothing last weekend. So, we'll have to find out. Warren, P14 for Lance Stroll. We've come to expect very little from Aston Martin in qualifying, but their race pace hasn't been terrible. They've been having quite solid race pace in that car. So I guess, there's definitely opportunities for them tomorrow, do something different with the strategy like they have been doing. They tend to go quite long on their first stint. So would you expect that from them tomorrow as well?
Yeah, I would think so. And yeah, they have been much better performing on Sunday than they have on Saturday. This is the first time I think they've gotten out of I don't even know when the last time they got a Q1 was. I would expect something like that. And I think everybody's a little disappointed that it's Stroll that is the top Aston Martin in the that they're qualifying today. But I would assume that they would try and do what they've been doing all year. They're good on Sundays, like I said. You got a good strategy going on, and try and get 10th place. That's probably what they're. I bet they were probably hoping for some wet qualifying today. They probably would have flashed there. They did show some good pace yesterday in P2. I think it was Vettel was up in the top 10. I think in P1 or practice two or practice one, one of those sessions. So they did show some nice pace yesterday. So I assume they're hoping that translates over to the race.
Yeah, but to be honest, it's more likely than not, because that Aston Martin, as you rightly said, does actually look quite good on a Sunday, and it's usually been Stroll in the points. And then Tom, P15, Mick Schumacher. Yeah, I mean, he's there. It's 15th is kind of an awkward place to be, because you're equally as far from the points as you are to the back of the grid. So it's going to probably be quite a tough race for Mick tomorrow. And personally, I wouldn't really expect him to be in the points.
Yeah, little bit disappointing for him, I'd say, today. I think some of us would like to have seen him higher up. But no, it's not not to be today. And that's also a very good point, you know, about points. You know, he's maybe it's, you know, if there's a bit of if there's a bit of carnage in front of him, come on, Bottas. You know, we might see, we might see him sneak a few positions. I do remember in this race last year, this is the first time that we saw him get really sort of racy in the absolute dog of a house from last year. So, you know, so hopefully he can sort of get that spice about him again. You know, maybe, you know, we might see something. I do think we're also beginning to see a different side of him in general, where we're beginning to see a bit more of the sort of, I don't know what the way to say it is, and I definitely can't say that word, but a bit more, you know, a bit more of his dad sort of side of him coming out, you know, where he's a lot more aggressive, where he's just, yeah, I can't say the word I want to say, but I'll say it offline and it'll make complete sense. It's not bad, but it's a bit of a straight word. It's basically where someone's like, you know, it's like if you were scrapping somebody, make you go, oh, you little, like you just, kind of thing. I think you kind of get the word I mean. So that element's beginning to come out in him, and I think that's good as a racing driver because you need it. You know. Obviously, F1 is a team sport, but there's also there's also the driver's side of it as well, and you know, we're beginning to see that. So, if you can bring a bit of that out tomorrow, get his elbows out, get a bit aggressive, maybe not quite like his dad did on Barrichello down the pit straight, and I think 2010 it was, maybe not that much. But yeah, you know, just get a little bit sassy tomorrow.
Damn it, Tom, you stole my reference. I was going to use that. I could use a reference for this. Anyway, P16 away in Yuki Tsunoda. It's, the AlphaTauri is just not very good. Like, I've been trying to make it, you know, seem like the AlphaTauri is kind of up and down. It's just, you know, it's just not gelling with the drivers at the moment. But I think we're coming to the conclusion now that this AlphaTauri just isn't very good. It just isn't very quick. And it's certainly not with the rest of the midfield. And, you know, 16th was the best for Yuki today. And yeah, I don't think there's really much more else you can say.
Yeah, it looked like it was going okay at the start of the season, that AlphaTauri, and now it's not at all. I think it's almost like the things that they've added to the car are the sandbags that Mercedes have taken out. You know, the only positive here for Yuki Tsunoda, I think, will be that, you know, he's out-qualified his teammate. But even then, I think his teammate had a pretty bad lap. And honestly, I didn't really see Yuki's. It's just kind of, you know, it's really quite far away from being in, you know, anyway. I don't know. It's just it's not a great lap. You know, he's 3.5. What is it? 3.5 hundredths off. Being in Q2. It's just kind of a bit underwhelming. I think it's mostly down to the car, to be honest with you. It's just they have been moving back in recent weeks, so I think it's going to sort of take a miracle to get something out of the race tomorrow, really, for them. You know, they should almost pray for rain.
I mean, even then, there's no guarantee that Yuki will keep it in a straight line. But a team that was definitely, I think, were hoping for rain, Warren, was Williams, looking great in FP3. Obviously, Latifi first, but then also Albon was third. But it was 17th for Alex Albon in the dry running. I mean, I think we were all maybe getting a little ahead of ourselves thinking what Williams could do in the wet weather, but it looks like their dry pace is, you know, right at the back where they usually are.
Yeah, I woke up this morning to see the results of FP3 and had to do like a triple take. I know I was a little hungover this morning, but still, it took a while to process. But it also seemed like Albon on his lap, like afterwards, he apologized to the team. So that seems like he made a mistake. I think it was in Sector 2 they said he made a mistake or something. But it looked like he had the pace to get out of Q2 at least, but probably finish in, 14th or 15th? Or out of Q1, sorry, into Q2 to get about 14th or 15th, but again, he made that mistake. Apologize, but yeah, the dry running not ideal. Then hey, maybe like last year, it rains early. Everybody, a couple teams make some mistakes, and they're we get a red flag again, they could get some strategy, whatever, if there is some rain for them. But yeah, I would think that them and AlphaTauri are going to be doing the rain dances. Also, it's like hard to tell how fast or truly how is every team doing FP3? Like, were they really going top tier pace on that, or were they just like Williams, hey, let's do that? But guess what? It didn't rain in qualifying, so it didn't matter. They went to the dry, and they're not quick in the dry.
I think there was definitely some incident of genuine pace in that FP3 because Leclerc came over the radio when he was told, and he was very shocked to hear that Latifi was 6/10 faster than him. So I think there may have been some truth to that that Williams pace. How it would have manifested in qualifying, I don't think we know, but it could have been up there. But
he could have.
Yeah, it's in the well, not too distant past now, and we have to now move on to tomorrow. And P18 for Sebastian Vettel, Tom. I mean, it's kind of what we come to. His qualifying was what we really expect from Aston Martin. Vettel was having some issues with the car. He was sliding a lot, especially through that final corner. He just couldn't get to grips, really, and he's found himself out.
Yeah, I think Vettel's got more than one eye on retirement now, especially now that we all know that he's going, you know, because he's obviously had that decision made for a little while. He's probably just counted down the races by this point. He's got about a handful left or so. It's just a shame he couldn't get out of Q1. I think the commentator said it's the first time since 2007 that he's not made it out of Q1 in the Hungaroring, which is quite some record, and not a record that you want to effectively undo, but break, or you know, sort of bring to an end. He sounded almost exasperated on the radio, and I think he's probably fed up as well. And I think because the Aston is such a dog, that's probably somewhat accelerated his decision to retire, I'd say. He's probably going to be seeing like the development that they're doing for next year. I'd say it's probably not looking that good. Because I think if there was even a hint that the car could have been, you know, pretty competitive for next year, he'd have been inclined to stick around. But alas, he is not. So, you know, so take from that what you will. He just looks sort of done with F1 almost. It's a bit of a sort of sorry state of affairs. You know, if we think back to 10 years ago in 2012 when we're having an absolute banger of a season, you know, and he was, where he was in his career then. It's just a bit of a shame, really. But it is what it is.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's what happens to the drivers. More often than not, when retirement is announced, their pace kind of drops and we see them focusing more on their retirement than because they've got nothing really to race for anymore. Then, Owain, well, to come back to you to wrap it up, we've got Pierre Gasly in P19. I believe he had one of his lap times deleted, hence why he's so far down, but I don't think his original lap anyway was particularly great. And I think it's just indicative of what this AlphaTauri is at the moment. It's just a not very good car, and they are slowly slipping towards the back.
I don't agree with Tom, actually. I think that, you know, as much as Vettel will at the end of the season be sitting in his armchair rear wing and hanging up his helmet, I actually thought that, you know, he sounded genuinely quite annoyed when he stuffed it in the barrier in practice three. So, maybe I'm wrong. You're right. Gasly, I think the fact that he got his lap time deleted kind of stuffed any chance he had. Particularly, I think, as well, when the issue of the F1 drivers not being pinged again in practice and things for stuff, and then getting their laptops deleted in qualifying. They weren't doing that for the rest of the series racing at the Hungaroring this weekend, so it's a bit weird that they've done it for Formula One again. But nevertheless, that changes nothing, unfortunately. You know, Pierre Gasly is in 19th, and you know, it lends more credibility to the fact that that, you know, the AlphaTauri is pretty slow. I don't know whether he would have actually made it through. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know lap wise who had the best laps, and whether Gasly would have got in if he'd managed to keep it inside the white lines. But to be honest with you, I don't think he's going to get much further up than 19th anyway. If you know Tsunoda's only that far up, he might have got to Q2, but I don't see him putting it anywhere near the top 10 with the car in the state of the way it is. So, you know, sort of get through the next race and then back to the drawing board over the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, I think there's definitely going to be some sort of, you know, reset AlphaTauri if the card continues to decline. And Warren, you've got the amazing job of talking about the GOAT this week. You know, he went purple, went green, then went yellow, big time. You know, could have been on for P1, but ended at P20. You know, we clown on Nicholas Latifi, but he did seem to be, you know, kind of, you know, working well with the car. I think Q2 maybe could have been there. It's just a big slide out of the final corner that really cost him that lap, and it puts him, well, back where he's familiar in P20.
I mean, is this not the ultimate goat doing goat things? You go purple on sector one and then you end up in P20. I mean, only a select few could probably really do that stuff. So I would just say this is another notch in the belt for the goat doing goat things. But yeah, I think everybody got a little like, whoa, when he went purple there. But yeah, like you said, he's back at the 20th where he knows well. I mean, he's got to hope he gets a start like he did at Silverstone when he, what, sliced through about three cars there at the beginning. I mean, that was a great start for him. But yeah, that's you could hear how upset he was on the radio too after he knew he had a good lap going, and just a slide out of the last corner sends him in the back of the grid. And what are you going to do? Hey, he'll always have the picture of him in first place for FP3 this weekend, so he can hang his hat on that.
Yeah, it reminds me of the time where Fernando, like in 2016 or 2017, in the McLaren went P1 in qualies, like Q3, Q1 or something. It was a momentous occasion that I'll never forget. But there we go. We are through all 20 drivers, and it's now time to move on to the predictions of, you know, what could be a very good race tomorrow. You know, it's a very jumbled grid, so I'm actually very interested to hear what your guys' predictions are. So we'll start with you, Tom. Give us your podium for tomorrow's race.
Sainz, Hamilton, Russell.
Ooh. I have a feeling Owe might disagree with you here, so we're going to move on to
fight me.
Oh, I don't, you know, I hadn't really thought about it, to be honest. I'm going to go with Russell.
Shock.
Leclerc. And then Norris.
Okay. And Warren?
I'm going to say Sainz, Leclerc, and then I really want to say Alonso, but I don't know if I could do that. I'll go Norris.
I am going to go with Leclerc, Russell, and then I think I'm going to go with, I love Lando, but I don't want to put him on the podium just pure out of commentator's curse, so I'm going to go with Max Verstappen. And Tom, will move on to your bold prediction now for tomorrow's race.
Perez doesn't make it into the points.
Okay.
That's bold.
That's very bold. Bowling, bold.
That's very
bowling,
bold.
Bowling,
bold. Bowling. Adewale?
I was going to go Fernando Alonso wins the race, but that's not a bold prediction because it's Fernando Alonso. No, I'm going to go with Lewis Hamilton wins.
Okay.
Hang on a minute, but didn't you say in your so you predict Hamilton's going to win your bold predictions?
They're not mutually. I have always said and always carried out that my bold predictions are never ever linked to my podium predictions.
My God, you're like Switzerland, just sitting on the
fence. He's covering himself on the Mercedes front. He can be happy either way when they win, playing both cards.
I did say I know Wayne's predictions too well, though. You'll always go for the Mercedes, so...
It's Hamilton on the clean side of the grid in a really good Mercedes. Like,
is it a really good Mercedes?
And does that make it bold? I think that makes it fairly...
All I'll say, Tom, is 10th and 11th.
All I'll say is look at the constructors.
Yeah, I will last year.
The drivers last year, mate.
All I'll say is, look at Michael Massey. Warren,
before this gets show, I'll carry on.
Before we get too much of an argument here, Warren, give us your poll prediction.
I'll say that Ricardo gets a top six.
Okay.
I think that I'm not very confident in that. I just don't really know what else I was going to pick, so we'll go with that.
I'm gonna stick with my regular bold prediction, because I actually think it may happen this time. He got points here last year. He'll get points again. Nicholas Latifi, P7. That's what I reckon. P7 for Latifi. Not just points would be for Latifi.
Not just point.
So if Latifi gets P6 or above, you don't get any points, Louis. Let me just clarify that, because you specified P7, and you can't change it because you said it. And the audience is listening.
But in my heart,
Down your fan club, go with me on this.
Tom's not wrong here. Like,
I'm fully aware that if he wins the race, I'm wrong. But I'll just be happy that it's one of those cases where you're just happy you're wrong.
I've got you.
I don't think I've ever been happy I was wrong.
Yeah.
Well, if Nicholas Latifi wins a race.
If Nicholas Latifi wins a race, just give him the Aston Martin seat. I don't know.
Give him Aston Martin. He'd probably do a better job than a Donald Trump. Anyway, we'll end the show on that note. If you're listening to this show, just know that we live stream all of our shows on YouTube. So if you're not subscribed, make sure to subscribe and hit the bell notification so you're notified as soon as we go live, so you can watch the show as it's recorded. And if you're already here in the chat watching the live stream and you're not subscribed, please consider subscribing and giving it a like. It's always very much appreciated. We're also available on Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Omni Studio, Verbal, and the F1 Chronicle website. So just search for the Grid Talk podcast. And you can also check out the write-up for the qualifying on the F1 Chronicle website. We have a huge back catalog of shows. So if you're stuck with something to listen to between now and the race tomorrow, you have over 200 shows for you to listen to, not just race reviews, but also interviews with people like Mario Zola and more documentary-style podcasts as well. We also have a Patreon, so if you'd like to support the podcast to get better mics, lights, and recording equipment for all our hosts, any support is greatly appreciated. And you can also get some official F1 merch from the f1chronicle.com/store. So now we'll get a chance for everyone to plug their podcast that they come from. So Tom, from Everything F1, where can they find more from you?
Yes, so as you just said, Louis, I'm part of Everything F1, fun across all our socials, so Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, I think those are the big four. You can find us there, we're either at Join the F1 or at Everything F1, just search for us, you'll find us. We have a YouTube channel, which we're working on, Everything F1, unsurprisingly. We have our websites where we do race reviews, quality reviews, opinion pieces, unpopular opinions, all that jazz. We cover F1, F2, F3, W Series, Formula E, and IndyCar. Those are our main ones at the moment. We have different people writing different bits about each series. You can find that at everythingf1.com. Then last, but by no means least, we have our podcast, which is the Everything F1 podcast. That's on oh god, you know, iTunes, Amazon, Spotify, all that stuff. Louis will name them all in a bit. But yes, that goes out every Tuesday or Wednesday, usually. Well, sorry, Wednesday or Thursday, recorded on a Tuesday. We used to have some good guests on. Again, preview, review, or if it's the summer break, we'll likely do some roundups, some sort of like opinion pieces, all that good stuff.
Cool. And Warren, you're from the Paddock Pals. Where can people find more from you?
Yeah, we're the Paddock Pals. My cousin and I, she actually called George P1 this week on our preview for Hungary. So go check that out on Apple, Spotify, wherever else you get the podcast. Yeah, we're on Twitter, Instagram, all the stuff, Paddock Pals podcast there. So yeah, you can check us out. We do previews, race reviews, try and play some fun games with each other during the week if there's no race week. So yeah, we got that's where you guys can find us at.
Brilliant. And Owain, you're co-host on the podcast, but where can people find more from you?
I do this, but I do Louis' job.
And sometimes I do what Owain's been doing.
Yeah, it's really fun. Sometimes we switch places. Sometimes we switch names. Anyway, no, if you want to read the things that I have written, I don't write very much anymore. I don't really have the time, unfortunately. Then you can read them, read the old stuff on sportlightpro.com, but any future stuff, I'd direct you to read I don't know the name of the F1 Chronicle. There we go. I don't know the web address, unfortunately. To read F1 Chronicle for our race reports and opinion pieces about the current world of Formula One.
Yeah, that's just F1Chronicle.com. And yeah, if you want to find more from me, I'm at L_G_Edwards on Twitter. Otherwise, you're going to pretty much find me on this podcast. And make sure to follow the socials for the F1 Grid Talk podcast, whatever you're listening to on. They're probably linked somewhere on Twitter, Instagram, and all the rest of it. So yeah, make sure to check them out. So I'd like to thank all of my guests for joining me today. And we'll be back tomorrow at 5 p.m. British Summer Time for the Hungarian race review. So, but until then, stay safe and goodbye.